This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you. First of all, can I thank you all for coming along today? I have to confess, I was a little bit concerned as to whether some of you might, having listened to all the announcements of the death of the diploma that some prophets of doom are making around the country, I thought some of you might have decided not to come to the conference, even though you'd booked it. So I am really glad that you've come along. I think it's going to be an interesting day, certainly perhaps not what was planned when the conference was first thought about. I am speaking from a reasonable evidence base here. ASCL represents 15,000 members, and they're all senior leaders in schools and colleges. And so obviously, over recent years, we've had a lot of feedback from our members about diplomas and their development. Quite a lot of uncertainty recently, but I'm also talking about the things that have come through over the last couple of years. So I'm going to be looking at that, but also looking particularly at the current context. I wasn't very sure, being the first speaker, whether Mike was going to go through briefly the changes that have happened since the new government came into power. So I thought really, for my first slide, I'd better just make sure that we're all thinking along the same lines and that we're all clear about where we are, at least. We're finding that policy does change by the week at the moment. I made the mistake of going away on holiday in the first week of September, and I didn't read any English newspapers where I was, and came home to discover that an English back had been invented in my absence. So, you know, it's quite possible that since yesterday there are more that have been added to this. But this is the situation with diplomas as it stands at the moment, as I think we understand it. And it's interesting, isn't it, that these things have happened so quickly, and that actually some of them, as you'll see as I go through what I want to talk about, some of them are responding to concerns that our members expressed. Some of them, of course, are not, in that we are unclear about funding. Some of the funding has been withdrawn, and that's certainly not something we would have recommended in any way. But, you know, no more gateway rounds, no obligation to collaborate. So central packages removed, the marketing removed, there'll no longer be those nice big adverts you keep seeing on the hoardings. Phase 4 diplomas withdrawn. Personally, I have to confess, as you heard, being a modern linguist, I'm rather sad about that, because when I saw, I'm not quite so sure about the other two, but when I saw the content of the modern languages diploma, I thought it was one of the most exciting modern languages qualifications that I'd seen in my whole teaching career. But maybe we can rescue some of that. Extended diplomas withdrawn, no requirement on the regional planning groups. But probably more importantly, I think what is now emerging, and obviously over the next year there'll be more clarity about this, there is no longer the very clear-cut 14 to 19 qualification strategy with the 4 pathways that we were all having to follow before. Now, some people liked the neatness of that, the fact that you had to offer all students eventually this entitlement to all 4 pathways, the diplomas, the apprenticeships, the foundation learning, the GCSE and A-level route, and that you were supposed to be doing it within a consortium. People felt that at least it was a clear structure. Many others among our members certainly felt that it was going to be impossible and unmanageable. So the fact that that structure has been removed does inevitably give us quite a lot of opportunities. So be clear about that. As far as we understand it at the moment, there is no longer any entitlement. It is going to be a situation where you, as providers, are going to be able to decide which qualifications are appropriate for the learners in your particular context. Sounds great. I have a little concern about that. I actually started teaching in the early 1970s. There were some great things happening then. There was no national curriculum, there was no particular qualification structure, there were some great things going on, but there was also some absolute rubbish. You know, I taught in a school at the beginning of my career where quite large numbers of the what is now year 10 and 11 did not do any maths whatsoever, for example, because you could devise entirely your own curriculum. There were no constraints. So lack of entitlement is okay, freedom is okay, but it can lead to inequalities and unfairness, and I think we should all try and remember that. What I thought I'd do in the next few minutes, bearing in mind what we've heard from our members, is just do quite a simple, straightforward SWOT analysis. I'm sure you're all familiar with that, looking at the successes, the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities and the threats to diplomas. So starting with the strengths, and by the way, these are just a few that I've noted down under each heading. If I'd had more than 20 minutes, I could probably have gone on for pages. And interestingly, some of the things that some people see as strengths are also seen as weaknesses by others. I think you'd probably all agree on these, and you could add others as well. I think there is no doubt that people are reporting that student enjoyment and motivation is absolutely great in most cases. Interestingly, one of the things, when you're talking about diplomas, and you've been quite positive about them, as I have been all along, one of the things that journalists usually ask you, as it seems to be the litmus test, is, yes, but if you had a 14-year-old child, would you let them do a diploma in the current situation? Well, in my case, my children are much older than that, but actually I would say definitely yes. My daughter, who's now 30, did an advanced GNVQ and absolutely loved it. It was quite right for her. She would have absolutely loved doing a diploma. The only issue I would have had with that is that although she loved it, now, at the age of 30, when she does her CV, she has to write a whole paragraph explaining what an advanced GNVQ is, because nobody but nobody has ever heard of it. And the only way she can explain it, of course, is in terms of A-level equivalences, because that's what they understand, sadly. So student enjoyment, I think there's absolutely no doubt about that. And as well, for many, many teachers and lecturers, we've been hearing that the development of the fact that they had to develop new approaches has really re-energised them. It's been tough, but they have enjoyed it, and they have enjoyed that working together, especially the focus on skill development. Employer involvement, I think we could probably put down in both strengths and weaknesses, couldn't we? Because again, we hear wonderful things where employers have been involved, and I think the picture has been better, really, than we perhaps anticipated it in the early days. Collaborative working. As you heard earlier, I have been very involved in my last headship in a very highly developed 14 to 19 consortium. And I know that that took over a decade to get to anywhere like, you know, really efficient working that was truly advantageous for all the young people in that consortium, and a huge amount of trust being built up over time. And again, we've certainly found in ASCL, and we have done our own research into this, that where collaborative working came from the ground upwards, where people were committed to it, where they'd already been involved, where they trusted each other, where they'd developed the protocols and the processes, it's worked well. I'll mention the other side of it under weaknesses. Development of teacher assessment. We've got to, certainly we in ASCL believe, that we have got to move in the future to more focus on teacher assessment. We cannot go on spending such a huge proportion of our resource in education on external assessment and examinations. But we need teachers to develop their skills, and this has certainly forced teachers into a position where they're developing their skills, teachers and lecturers. It has been seen as a weakness in some consortia, and again, it comes down to training and time for development, doesn't it? I think the extended project has been a huge success, and in fact has now spread way beyond the diploma, and that's a true example of a qualification having a market value, because nobody's been forced to do that, and yet people are taking it up all the time. Weaknesses. we could have gone on probably for some pages here. The complexity, inevitably. Why do we do this in this country? I think it's easy to say, well, it was the government's fault, it was QCDA's fault, it was the awarding body's fault, the diploma partnerships, the sector skills. Actually, it's all our fault, because in my experience of working in this country, in education, you put a whole group of educationalists in a room and ask them to develop anything, whether it's a new qualification, a curriculum, a timetable, a behaviour policy, whatever it is, it's never simple. They always come up with something that's incredibly complex. We just all do it. And I think we've got to stop ourselves doing this, and we've got to go for something more simple. There wasn't a proper piloting, of course. It's difficult to pilot new qualifications, but you really do need to do them because you need to find out what the issues are going to be. They're never going to be perfect straight off. Forced collaborative working, where it was just top down, where local authorities have been obliged to say to people, right, you'll all work together, even if you've never got on before and you have nothing in common, but you're in a consortium, you're going to do it. It just doesn't work. Impact of lack of leadership. In some cases, I think, where perhaps the leadership of the consortium, the senior leadership, were not sufficiently committed to diplomas, they then put people in charge of the diplomas and didn't give them the right sort of status to enable them to work across the consortium and have that status that was necessary to really get things going. Very heavy on time, collaborative working. Everybody says this, but it's never really recognised. And, of course, for the numbers involved, people feeling, is it really worth the amount of time we're spending when it has such an uncertain future? And the high risk of it. And as I say, I think this has been very clear in the views of parents. Parents, and I can understand it, parents do tend to be risk averse when it comes to their children. You are, aren't you, when you're a parent? When my daughter told me she was doing the advanced GNVQ, it was really quite interesting. Lots of our friends and relations said to me, surely, Sue, you're going to stop her from doing that, given that she's capable of doing a full set of A-levels. It was only because, you know, I knew her very well and I knew that she'd enjoy it. But I think parents don't like that risk, and quite a lot of senior leaders don't like the risk, because performance tables have been such a pressure on people. And so the diploma has been seen as very risky. And we all know about the functional skill requirement. And above all, nothing to do with the rights and wrongs of it. There is nothing wrong with expecting the young people of this country to have clearly identified functional skill levels. But the unfairness of expecting a minority of children to have this in order to gain their main qualification, when most of the young people don't have to have it, is just not acceptable, I think, and something has to be done about that. You know, it in our view, it should have been an all or nothing. Either everybody had to do it, if that's really what employers want and what the country needs, should be compulsory for all, or it can't be made compulsory for some young people until such time as we've really sorted out what we want. So, what about the opportunities? That's very, very briefly what our members have been saying to us about the diploma so far. Actually, of course, the new situation, I think, offers you all some substantial opportunities. Because of the disappearance of the actual strategy and the entitlement, some of those forced collaborations, which didn't work, can be simplified. We've certainly had examples from members of cases where they'd already been working in a small consortium which was working well for a variety of qualifications, but the local authority had then almost required them to work jointly with other people in the area, making the consortium too big. That hadn't worked well. They can slim it down now. They can really focus on the diplomas that they think are working for them. So the removal of some of the complexity offers you, I think, huge opportunities just to rethink how your consortia are working, what's working well, what's not working so well. We are already hearing from the awarding organisations, but it's early days, that they're going to be very reluctant to waste the huge investment they've put into diplomas, and therefore, inevitably, they're going to see what they can salvage out of this. You know, I think having developed some of the principal learning in the Phase 4 diplomas, they're going to be quite unwilling just to let that work go completely. We might see it resurrected. We're told that there's going to be more freedom for awarding bodies to develop new qualifications, so there are going to be opportunities for them to develop parts of the diploma, we assume, in different ways. Pretty unclear picture at the moment, but I think it's really worth watching out for, because it may be that if there were some of the principal learning elements which were available without the current huge complexity of the ASL, it might help people in some way. So this is very unclear, as I say, at the moment, but I think it's something we need to watch. Those of you working in schools and colleges are going to have much more freedom to select qualifications. That's a bit of a watch this space, isn't it? Because those of us people who work on the ground in schools and colleges know that in actual practice, the two things that drive it are, let's be honest, funding and the accountability measures. And we need to see the way that those are going. So when we're told that we will have more freedom and the marketplace will decide, yes, we have to be mindful to local needs, to the preferences of young people, but there are those two other factors as well. No imposition of collaboration models, as I've said, is a huge opportunity, I think. We're told that there will be changes to performance tables. We don't know what they will be yet, but again, that could offer us some opportunities. It depends how things work out in that way. A lot of employers are very supportive of the diplomas. After all, they were the people who developed them. We know that a lot of little employers around the country are still not terribly aware of what diplomas are. But a lot of big employers and medium-sized employers are really very keen on them. And so we certainly hope that they're not just going to wash the hands off them and say, oh, well, it was a good idea, but they're not going to survive. And, of course, if they start saying to the government that we don't want to lose all of this investment, it will be huge. What about the threats? Well, HE attitudes, you're going to hear more about that today. Early days to tell, isn't it? But we don't still quite know how that's going to pan out. People are concerned about what was advertised as the low completion rates this summer. I think it's a shame, in a way, that the diploma has to be lumped together with other general qualifications and have an end date, because the diploma, like some other qualifications, you know, we don't say that people embarking on an NVQ, because they didn't all get it by a certain date in the year, the others have failed. People get it when they get it, don't they? And diplomas are the same, but diplomas have been sort of shoehorned into a general qualification structure, which has made it quite difficult for the media and the public to view diplomas in this way and say, OK, so far this percentage of people have actually got their whole diploma, so many people have got parts of it, and they'll no doubt go on to get the whole thing. There does seem to have been a bit of a move back over recent years towards young people taking what they see as more traditional qualifications. Partly, I think, because of the big push on the STEM subjects, for example. But it may just be a factor of the recession and parents saying to them, our members are noticing this, particularly in, you know, 11 to 18 schools, they're hearing parents saying, oh, I think they'd be better doing more traditional A-levels, because won't employers like that more? So even within the A-level groups, they're finding larger numbers coming through for what parents see as more traditional subjects. It may be a little blip, again, difficult to tell. We know that the diploma funding per pupil is continuing until the end of this academic year, but obviously future funding is all pretty much in the air at the moment. And yes, the government are probably right to say the diploma should sink or swim alongside all other qualifications and should have similar levels of support and similar levels of funding, but we do know that the fact that we've got the collaborative working has made it a lot more expensive and more expensive to develop. It may be that it's going to have to be simplified, and you're going to have to simplify your consortium arrangements in view of what is inevitably going to be reduced funding as everything is going in that direction. The complexity of awarding, we hear our members with a lot of concerns from their examination officers about the whole awarding of the diploma and the fact that you're doing bits from different awarding bodies. That may not be sustainable in the long term. You may need to have a diploma awarded solely by one awarding body. We are very, very worried about the loss of the whole centre support, which is currently provided by QCDA. There's been a huge amount of support for the exam office this summer and last summer over diploma awarding. That is going to disappear. We don't know yet who, if anybody, will carry on doing that, and that's a worry. The removal of central marketing could be seen as a threat. I think it's very difficult to know, isn't it, whether anybody has actually done a diploma because they've seen it on a hoarding or heard it mentioned on the radio or anything of that sort. I think that the jury's probably still out on that. Although we do hear, interestingly, that when the TDA adverts for teaching, I think, stopped for a while during or after the election, the percentage of people asking for information and applying for PGCs plummeted. So it may be that mass marketing is more successful than we think. Those are some of the issues that are coming up with our members. My general view at the moment is that, in a way, you people sitting in this room, who presumably are all in the business of being involved in delivering, teaching, lecturing, organising diplomas in some way, are the people who are really going to make a difference here, because it is sink or swim time now. And if you're really finding it a qualification of benefit to the young people, if you really think it's motivating them, if it's filling a gap, there are going to be opportunities, I think, for you to continue with it. But you're going to have to really have the strength to follow that through and look out for the opportunities and see how you can organise it in a way that really fits your needs. Nobody in future is going to tell you that you're going to have to do it, which is both an opportunity but also a threat. You could give up if that's what you want to do. But as I say, I think you've really got to bear in mind the opportunities for the young people and their learning and what they need for the future. And certainly, in my personal view, I would be very, very, very sad to see it just disappear. Thank you.